Final hour, fist pump time. Get it, get it, get it. Middle of the week, hump day edition.
Hump day.
On Sean RJ, we got Peyton and Carter in the back. Everyone's getting it live on the fan cam, Twitch and YouTube, as we try to get you to your Friday and your weekend as quickly as possible. Man, I felt like a little breeze this morning walking out to the car. I said, are we breaking? Are we breaking with the temperature?
You live in a privileged community then, because I didn't feel that. I woke up.
I have privilege because I have a wind gust.
Yeah.
It got through the walls, my moat, look, my drawbridge.
We have all sorts of privileges out there. You have wind privilege, okay? And so that was where I felt quite balmy this morning.
I am not seeing a triple digit high the rest of the week. We're only getting up to 99 five times. Five times over the next 7 days. So
7 days.
A balmy 102 yesterday, 105, records being set. Insane out there. The evaporation out of my pool. I had to check if I had leaks, which I knew was not going to be the case with Emerald Custom Pools. But my kid, my parents, thank you, Mom, for sending me another, 48-piece set to put together. This, little outdoor bucket thing with my kid. All the water out of that, gone. Just like that. The grease catcher in my Blackstone, gone. Everything's just evaporating out there with the water disappearing in the heat.
The only thing not evaporating is the sweat from under my arms and trickling down my side. Anytime I get in the car, it is within 2 minutes of getting in the car, even with the AC on, that I start, I feel like a bead of sweat trickle down, and it's just, this is brutal.
I'm hanging on for dear life with my electric bills, man, with my air conditioning bill. It's ugly. It's really ugly.
I'm really understanding now everybody who got upset with us while we were in Oxnard for, talking about what the temperature was, and, it's kind of chilly. Or, it's kind of a hot 78. By seeing choppy post screenshots of the, just in case you were curious what the weather's like. Nobody was curious.
54.
Nobody was curious, douche. You don't have to post it.
Dude, why can't we just get a little cooler summer, man? I'm sitting there watching the DNC last night, just like I watched the RNC.
I was about to say, of course you were.
Just like I watched the RNC. And their high is 73 today. This state would be absolutely perfect if we could just fix, adjust the global warming and the ice caps a little bit more to get it to
a political take from
84 degrees, 80 degrees. No, it's just a climate. Well, I guess that is political. All right, so that's where things stand. But this morning I felt a little breeze. I was like, whoa, it may have broken. I'm trying to get a screen door.
Make sure you open it.
Yeah. The screen door that can look out to the pool and the patio and open it and keep it. And my wife's like, for what? What are you going to get a big sliding screen door for? You're going to let all the air conditioning out. You can use it 4 weeks out of the entire year here. We had an amazing spring. I thought I moved to an area of Texas where oh my God, there's a weather pocket here. This is amazing. It just turned out to be the most comfortable and awesome spring weather ever. And I think that maybe lasted for 2.5-3 weeks. We might get a couple weeks in the fall, so it's not worth doing it.
No, but you lucked out with the breeze. That's why I say you have breeze privilege this morning, because I did not get any of that.
The breeze. All right. NFL around the league, and before Nick Eatman, 9:20. Around the rest of the NFL here on Sean and Bobby. We got new rules, 5 trades. And how your girl changed you the most. Which one would you like to start with?
Let's just knock out Travis Kelce. I don't even know what to make of a Kansas City frat boy anymore. Travis Kelce is officially whipped, ladies and gentlemen.
Bobby and I do share this. We lose respect. We don't say, yeah, I get it. We lose respect for you if your girl changes you that much.
And she's changing him. So
look at Bobby and I. We have not been changed.
Yeah. It is Taylor Swift, though. A little different.
I don't think it is.
He's Travis Kelce. It's like they're talking about with their prenup. What do you do? Am I the only one? Boil it down, simplify it. You each keep your own. Travis Kelce's going to be fine. He's got generational wealth as well. They're talking about a prenup before he gets down on one knee or whatever. You keep yours, I keep mine. I'll be good. We're both going to be good forever.
Yeah, they should be. Now, why do you say, Peyton, are you saying that you would fall that hard for Taylor Swift too? Or are you saying because
he's saying McKenzie's not good enough to change for? McKenzie's not good enough to change for.
Or are you saying what exactly is your point here? Of like, because it's Taylor, it's different because she's powerful, or because she has more like clout than him, or because you think she's just like
or hot
that attractive?
I think it comes down to attractiveness. I think and fame. I think think of your.
So why is Taylor different then?
Shut up, Bobby.
She's hot. Yeah, I said it. Think of like your all-time celebrity crush that, let's say Amanda's not listening right now, so you can say it. You're safe here. You know, if they say change this, change that of you, like, are you doing it? Because if you say no, then, you know, you could lose out on the relationship. Yeah. Are you changing yourself?
What are you changing? What do you want me to change?
Well, let's say if she's like, hey, I need you to do laundry. I need you to do this. I need you to clean up. Change diapers.
I do change diapers.
Let's go through the list here of what he's changed, apparently. Okay, so first off, the off-season workout animal, no more. He's been jet-setting all summer, going to Europe to watch her her performances. She made him dress up in a tux and a top hat to jump out as, like, part of one of her shows over there. Mm-hmm. All right, so any woman who successfully gets you to dress up because she wants to, as Bill Burr has pointed out before, that's you've lost control of the relationship. She's now being involved in he brings her into the gym to train alongside him.
Okay,
so they're doing couple workouts together, and she's now dictating his haircut. So Patrick Mahomes talked to The Athletic for this piece about Travis Kelce's, you know, off-season with Taylor Swift. At the start of camp, Kelce continued one of his traditions. He shaved off his beard, leaving just a thick, walrus-like mustache to resemble Reed. But Patrick Mahomes shares that Kelce's haircut was not the same as it has been. We've all become familiar with the buzz cut or the tight fade that Kelce loves so much. No more. Instead, Kelce is letting his hair grow out throughout training camp because of a request from old Taylor Swift.
You know, I wrote down all those things, and I'm going to defend him.
Oh gosh,
these are not that bad. They're really not.
The haircut,
haircut. If Amanda was like, "Hey, you should," I think you could look even better, like growing your hair long. I would probably try it. I don't care that much. I don't care about my hair like that. So she knows what is more attractive or less attractive. She's like, maybe with a buzz cut, or maybe try this, styling it that way. I would do it. I would not consider that whipped. I would consider that help with style, which I desperately need.
Has Travis Kelce ever struck you as a guy who like needs help with his style, or is not, or needs to level up his attractiveness?
No.
This seems like,
but she might like it even more.
This seems like a controlling narrative, and like she's
the top hat, one outfit for one of her shows. Nothing wrong with that. You put up, hey, put on this outfit. She's not changing the way he dresses daily, like Choppy got changed and altered. And then having the gym partner, that's cool. That's good. He may want that for her.
She's also making him cook in the kitchen with her.
Not whipped. That's a together. That's a couple's thing.
That's a bonding.
You know
moment.
What you should be doing instead of every night at 9:30 p.m., us getting a text from Bobby.
Shouldn't be worried about cooking. He should be worried about cereal.
You know what I did? I simulated on ChatGPT. Joe Biden. Y'all, I'm not exaggerating. Bobby, shut your mouth for 30 seconds. I simulated like this football team quarterbacked by Biden by this other team that was quarterbacked by, I need you to talk for 1 second. Who was the other person?
Biden as quarterback for the 49ers and Bernie Sanders at left tackle blocking Micah Parsons.
That's what he's doing. That's what this man is doing. He's getting old Travis Kelce for cooking or working out with his girl, and Bobby's burning time with fake Madden simulations on ChatGP with DNC figures. So I don't know if you're the one to be lecturing right there.
I'm saying that there's...
Your wife would kill... Which she would kill to hear that you copied Travis Kelce just a little bit.
But exactly, I need to establish a baseline for who exactly is in charge here. By the way, just while you were talking, just as an example of this, I decided to ask. I was like, hey, who would win a presidential election between Donald Trump and Travis Kelce? Solidly Trump. Trump appears to edge out Travis Kelce here in this one with 300 electoral votes.
I want to know the biggest, admit it. Well, we can leave your name out of it if you want. The biggest change you underwent or your friend. Throw your friend under the bus at 877-881-1053. That just folded like a tent. My best friend growing up, I don't talk to him anymore after his first wife. She was such a biatch. Totally, completely changed him. And I'm like, you're a coward. You're a spineless coward. And we can't talk anymore. They got divorced too, so I ended up being right. But no, did not rekindle that friendship.
I started eating broccoli. That's about the biggest thing she changed on me. It was broccoli. She still to this day gets so mad. I think you've heard her talk about it before. The whole dancing thing. That she's like, I won't dance. And I told her I wasn't going to dance. I don't dance.
And that's
not in
it?
Lee, not in the Lee Bryson.
Dancing three times out of the year that you're out, that's your biggest change?
No, I didn't do that.
But that would be your biggest change? I didn't dance.
Next time you see Kristen, ask her, just bring it up and see how worked up she gets at the idea that I don't dance.
I know what happened to Billy Bob. Pepe, you. Either
Silver Fox.
Be honest. Either yourself or a friend, they got totally worked over.
Him in his Texas Tech shirts.
It was my style. I got Lululemon shorts because of Mackenzie. She saw my shorts and she called them Adam Sandler shorts because of how long they were. Yeah. They were right at the kneecap. I thought they were fine. I even rolled them up a little bit. She's like, no. These are awful. These are off-brand, terrible. Go get some Lulus. And she bought me like 3 or 4 pairs. So it was the style, really, for me.
Okay.
Some of the answers here on the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorneys fan text. 469, my wife wants me to keep hair on my chest. Hell no. 817, I don't watch.
See, that's not a problem to me. That's like something behind the scenes, undercover. It's not like outwardly showing the rest of your friends that you folded up and you melted.
I mean, I've missed out on a few like casino trips, which I know isn't a big deal to a lot of people.
Oh my God.
But yeah, you know, she's like, dude, you just went last week and you don't need to go again.
Yeah, you're winning in that department big time.
817, I don't watch adult videos any longer.
Okay.
So that's one. 469, my girlfriend is a 10 and I'm a 6. I do whatever she tells me to do. I don't blame the
who else that you know here, like Eric and Zach.
Mm-hmm.
You see any of them like getting changed and most likely to?
I think Zach has been changed more naturally by like having a baby more than like his relationship.
Yeah.
I would say like I definitely see him like I see differences in him since he's had a baby. But Eric, no.
But no one can match this guy, right?
No, like I mean, that's,
no one can match
this gal. Yeah, nobody can match.
No one can match Ralph.
No, because he's. I mean, it's just it's evolving. It's constantly changing. It's he's there's no consistency. It's yes, dear. It's very yes, dear. Like yes. With him.
You got a nominee or anyone that you think you're surprised?
I mean,
Zach or Eric?
Aren't you the only single guy in your Los Hombres? Or you were the only like non-married guy in your Los Hombres?
I was, yes.
So who is it that like who out of that group changed the most? Because you knew them pre-spouses.
Yeah, no one really. I mean, like there were some that maybe they were like, hey guys, like I can't go out to drink. Like my girlfriend wants to hang out with me this weekend, so like I'm gonna do stuff with her.
I got a wild card.
I got one. I just thought of that. I changed for Kristen. I don't go clean shaven anymore because she's told me, she's like, I won't look at your face if you go clean.
Okay.
Shaven.
All right. See, that's me is the hair thing.
I have to go to shadow minimum.
I got a wild card and I'll say it now that we don't need him anymore. I think Broadus might adjust in a relationship big time and just do what she says.
Hmm.
I think he could until a certain point. And that point would probably be breaking up, but up until the breakup, I could see him. I could see him changing things up. And you think I'm off on that?
He is a yes, ma'am, no, ma'am person.
Hey, that's his sweet Southern charm. I don't know that the last time I was around Brian while he was actively in a relationship, I don't remember him changing too much.
Yeah, like, well, he changed my backyard because he took my damn pellet grill. And that's gone.
I don't remember a lot of changes there, but I'll say this, that he would cut off that relationship the second she said, hey, why don't you put that tape up?
Ooh.
And he goes, hell no, you can go.
Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com. Did he start the fire yesterday in Oxnard? Let's catch up with Nicholas. Dang it, I keep forgetting he's back in Frisco. We'll talk about the Cowboys and Nick Eatman next. Crosstalk with the KMC Masterpiece is coming up at 9:40. Right now, it's Nick Eatman. DallasCowboys.com brought to you by the WinStar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. Nick, did you panic and freak out when you heard about the fire yesterday in Oxnard?
No, not really. I'm in Dallas, so I was just like, okay, guys. you know, it, I think I got out when I was supposed to.
But is it telling if you sent your first text message to someone and that would tell us who you cared about the most? Like, was it on over to Mickey? Was it Nick Harris? Was it Derek Eagleton? Like, are you okay? What's going on? Or did you not send one at all?
No, I didn't really send one at all. I got a call quickly, and then I also got a video, and I just kind of I got the sense very quickly that it wasn't really a big deal. Okay. So
Now you stayed in those rooms. Obviously, you've been staying in them every single year for mm-hmm. a long time. What could start a fire in an unattended room?
What could start a fire? Like, just like potential?
Yeah, is it just like the AC unit?
I don't know. I don't know. I've heard stories. They're funny. I'll leave them at that. I don't know what it would be. I mean, there's a lot of reasons of what it could be.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I wasn't there, so I'm just gonna say I don't know because I wasn't there.
All right. Well, I'm gonna hit you with one last hypothetical, Nick, and it's not gonna do the place. We know it was not one of the DC.com people, but if you had heard, Nick, it was somebody on your staff. It was in their room. Who do you immediately go? Oh, it was probably this person's room.
Mickey.
that came out quick.
Mickey smoking cigars.
I don't know. You know, that would be that would be speculating. I don't know. Mickey. Let's just go with Mickey.
Yeah. All right. Reaction to this, if it's possible, for the 500th time, Jerry yesterday with a CD update.
I don't mean that to be insensitive to our fans or to CD, but we're in good shape there, and we are having our promising talks. Say, well, why you keep talking? Won't you do something? Again, as in anything, it takes both of you there at the same time. But I believe it's got the proper amount of everything, emphasis, importance for everybody involved here, and we'll see how it goes.
What do you think, if anything?
That seems about on brand here, because I don't think that there has been a huge sense of urgency for either side to get this done. And, you know, Jerry said it a week ago or so, and everyone went up in arms about that. And, oh my God, Jerry's no sense of urgency while CD's agent is at the Olympics. So, I mean, like, it hasn't been a huge sense of urgency for either side. And I think as we get closer and closer to this, and one thing that needs to be pointed out is, you know, when you're off for this long and then you get back in and start playing football, I mean, you're risking a chance for an injury there. And so hopefully everybody knows that this isn't a sign Saturday in Cleveland type thing and go play. I mean, hopefully this is a situation where, hey, to get ready to play that first game, you need to be here, I would say, 2 weeks, 3 weeks before that. So we'll see if they think that way. I would think the sense of urgency, though, is going to start ramping up here. It has to if they want to play this game and he wants to play at that high level for this game.
Nick, we were talking about earlier, Sean and I, kind of noticing when Jerry's talked about this the last couple days, it's almost like it sounds like it's bracketed with like a, hey, I don't want to offend anybody or I don't want to work anybody up, you know, or anything like that.
Yeah.
Is that a direct response, you think, to how things were interpreted last yeah. Friday, or is this more he feels a need to have a different approach with this one than he did with Zeke, for instance, where with Zeke, he kept throwing out Zeke who and didn't seem to bracket with any apologies at all.
Yeah, well, same with Zach Martin, if you remember. Mm-hmm. I mean, he actually threw some zingers at Zach, which was kind of surprising too. So both of those, I think that was the tactic, and I think he tried to go down that road a little bit here, and it's not the same. I think all players are different and all people are different. And so I think he sees maybe senses a little bit more sensitivity with CD situation here. And I think, you know, that's why he knew that what happened last week was probably not the best thing that could have happened. So let's change the tune a little bit. And I think what he's trying to say is there's no sense of urgency right now. You know, we lost a player for the season in Trayvon Diggs in a practice. So get ready, you know, get ready to play, get ready, you know, on your own, and they'll get this thing done. But, you know, but I'll say another thing. Like, do y'all – the fact that they don't make any moves in free agency and they're in cap hell or whatever, I mean, isn't there blame on Jerry and Steven for that? I mean, they're people – well, who do you blame for that? They blame – Jerry and Steven.
Right.
But at the same time, if they the same people are that are blaming them are also like, why don't they just get it done? Well, getting it done is the same philosophy that puts you in that capital, because they can get it done. They could sign all three of them tomorrow if they just said, oh, let's just get it done at all costs. And so I think that it's very hypocritical for some people that are saying, why don't they get it done? And then also, why don't they have more money on the salary cap? I mean, that just seems kind of odd, and I don't understand why. I think the same people are saying both sides.
I think it, for me, I would look at it and say it's probably more related to if you would have gotten it done a year ago, for instance, with CD, you could have made it a more palatable number across the board because it gives you more years to spread out and a way to break up the signing bonus and do different things. So I think for a lot of people, it's more just a general frustration of the longer you put this off, the more it's cost you consistently. So why don't you get more out ahead of it? And to be fair, those same people aren't clamoring right now for, hey, get Micah done right now. When in reality, if you don't want to run into the same thing next year, you should probably get Micah done right now.
Get Micah done, yeah. But I'll say this, though. So yeah, people that would say, well, they could have gotten CD at 28 last year, you know, and now they're going to have to pay 32, 33 or what, you know, per year. But knowing the Cowboys and knowing any business people, they probably were trying to get them at 25. You know, and they weren't thinking at 20 that they're trying to get the best deal. And then he goes out and has a record breaking season. And next thing you know, yes, the price goes up. So it's all cat and mouse type game. All I'm saying is that, like, I think if everyone knew what the asking price was for like Dak and CD, I think they would maybe understand of why it's taking a little bit longer. These asking prices are up there. And so I think that's part of the negotiation.
Do you know both asking prices?
I don't know the CD one. I know that the Dak one is Kansas City, like, you know, like a few years ago. I mean, so it's up there. It's in the it's kind of like where the weather is right now in Oxnard. You know?
Nick Yeatman on the D&M Leasing hotline here on 105.3 The Fan.
Just on the.
I thought you were going to go to the weather in Dallas.
No.
On the CD question, you mentioned there that maybe they're dealing with a little bit more of a sensitivity to the that sort of rhetoric. And I think that that's fair and to be expected because, and I don't mean this in a negative way at all because it benefits them in a lot of ways. CD is one of the more emotional players on the team, I would say, in terms of just he openly talks about it. I get frustrated sometimes and it takes me out of my rhythm at times. And, you know, it's San Francisco last year where he kind of isolated himself because he was upset and he was frustrated. Is it one of those things where the Cowboys, not just in, well, we shouldn't worry about offending him in these negotiations. Do you think there is a consciousness within the Cowboys of this is somebody who it could potentially turn sour into an irreversible state if we don't handle it the right way when we talk with him?
I think so. I think you have to weigh all that into this. You know, he's an emotional person, but he also, you know, he's also understands things as well. And, you know, he that whole San Francisco game, I mean, I think that whole thing, you know, he grew up a lot that week. Him and Dak both did, I think, you know, as far as, this is how this looks and you can't really do this, but you're not really wrong. You know, it's like any 88 that's ever been on the sideline that's wanted the football. You know, one way to shut him up is to give him the football, you know, and that's what they did. He wasn't wrong. He handled it in a way that probably wasn't right. And maybe you could say the same for this right here. Is he wrong for wanting his money? No. Is he wrong for the way he's handling it? You can debate that. I don't disagree with him. Not after seeing number 7 go down for the season last year in a practice. He did it last year. Why should he do it again? I understand exactly what he's doing. And I don't think that they're at a point now where it's like they're hurting the team. I think what you've seen is you've seen some receivers step up. The one that stepped up the most is Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks, to me, has taken that leap to a number one level receiver, and his connection with Dak has been off the charts. And that right there, I think, is as good as anything that's happened here. So maybe the two of them back on the same field, when that happens, I think that's going to be the biggest benefit.
I'm having a mini debate with Bobby. This isn't anything important. It's just about me being right again, like mayor yesterday. Listen to this clip and tell me if you think that Jerry is saying we're good with Lamb's contract where we are, or we're good in the wide receiver room right now without him.
I don't mean that to be insensitive to our fans or to CD, but we're in good shape there, and we are having promising talks. Why you keep talking? Won't you do something? Again, as in anything, it takes both of you there at the same time. But I believe it's got the proper amount of everything, emphasis, importance for everybody involved here, and we'll see how it goes.
What do you think, Nick?
The part about we're in good shape?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're in good shape there. Is that a reference to the negotiation or a reference to the position?
I think it's to the negotiations. I thought everything that was said there was about the CD negotiations. I don't know who I just pissed off.
Didn't piss off anybody. And my argument.
Love you, Nick Eatman.
I said, when you hear it, when it's spoken, that's what it sounds like. I said it reads like he's talking about the receiver room, but when it's spoken, it sounds like the tone is saying the negotiation.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think he ever goes back to anything else. It's all we're in good shape there. Yep. It has a good level of everything.
Yeah, true.
I think the whole thing. Now, to be fair to
nailed
both
it.
Sides.
No, nope, that's all you need to say. We'll talk to you Friday.
Okay, the reason why Bobby is thinking that is because Jerry has said that too 100 times. So, like, because he knows that's what he's thinking too. He thinks both of that. In this particular case, just reading that or listening to that, I think he's talking about contract. But we all know by listening to him all camp that he feels good about the receivers as well.
Would have been golden. Just 20
awesome
seconds.
Job, Nick. Awesome
seconds.
Job.
He still favored me a little bit. Thanks, Nate. We'll talk Friday.
Blue pig.
You're right, Sean.
Nick Eatman. DallasCowboys.com. Brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. I don't know where they are, but we're going to crosstalk with the KMC Masterpiece next. Tough to make out exactly where they are, but they're definitely on the road. It's crosstalk with the KMC Masterpiece, and I do not hear Kevin Hagelin speaking yet.
Oh, no. You can't hear us.
I can hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Got you now.
Okay. There we go.
What do you mean you don't know where we are? Weren't you promoing that we're at Globe Life Field all day long?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds like a no.
Corey, it looks like you're at Globe Life Field. What's coming up?
That's a good one. We are right out of the gate. What's the biggest X factor for the Cowboys this season? And then we're going to talk about that kid who couldn't make that catch in center field during the Little League World Series.
How did they call that a catch to start?
Yeah, come on, man. Get a new center fielder out there. Bruce Bochy's supposed to join us around 10:20 this morning. And my buddy's an idiot coming up at 11:20. Short show as we lead into the Rangers and the Pirates today.
Hey, Sean, tomorrow we'll be at Specs off of 75 if you want to hype that up all program.
And I'm going to just throw this out there. Thanks to Sagamore Spirit Rye, my hat right there. I am told there is going to be a free whiskey tasting.
What?
So if you want to come out.
All right, I guess I'll see you there then, Sean.
Yeah, if you want to come out to Specs, it's right around the corner from the station. Come out and see us, and I'm told free whiskey tasting.
Oh, it's this Specs right around the corner?
Yep.
Yes!
Yeah.
I love that store.
Oh, my God.
It's a sick, sweet wine collection in the back, too.
Yes, they do. Yeah, it's awesome.
That glass room back there. What's wrong, Kevin?
We just said it was off of Central, and you didn't think it was that one that you know?
I'm just trying to make it, like, more hype.
Okay.
Central's a long road.
Tell me about the glass room.
There's a glass room, and there's a lot of bottles. I think it's temperature controlled. You keep your wine at your different temperatures. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, only white wine's supposed to be cold.
Oh,
but
dear.
No, your red wines are also kept a little bit chilled. As well. That's where the big box prices are back there in that back room.
Do you have a wine cellar at your house, Sean?
Not a cellar.
You have a wine fridge?
I have a wine fridge.
Yeah. Okay.
But I have nothing in it. I went through a bad period. I like to call it an educational period. Like my DUI, it was an educational period.
Drink at home.
I needed that. To learn not to drink and drive, although I didn't have any Ubers or Lyfts in my 10,000-person town. But this wine period, educational, not to spend that much money on wine, at least for me. I signed up for these wine clubs and these discount sites, and I'd probably say I was buying like 6 bottles a week and ordering them online and getting this wine fridge and everything. And it's not for me. So my wine fridge is currently empty. It's pretty pathetic and lame.
What's the most expensive bottle of wine? I know that's not really what you were getting at right there, but I'm curious. What's the most expensive bottle of wine you ever did or have ever done?
Oh, I would never pay. It might have been like whatever the Camus Special Select. It might be $175, $180.
Camus.
But I would never like, I mean, I was signing up for discount sites. I was like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is $100.
He's getting in bulk. I'm getting bulk.
It's a $100 bottle. Like maybe I'd pay $60 for one to try it, but
I gotcha.
Never was I gonna consistently buy $60 bottles of wine. I'm trying to find the $60 bottle for $30.
Yes,
and you know, and having a wine fridge full of even $30, well, it was a little bit too rich for my blood. So that emptied my bank account real quick, and I learned.
I gotta say, guys, I don't blame Sean for not knowing where exactly you were. I don't know what it is about y'all's lighting or whatever else. Does it not look like they're on a green screen?
Yeah,
like,
it does.
That they're fake at the ballpark or not? This looks as if they are on a green screen of Globe Life Field.
We're in Studio B, and we're like, hey, we're live at the ballpark, everybody.
Yeah, it is the lighting behind us more than anything, but I'll give you a shot of the field there. And then there's Ruben.
I turned it the wrong way.
Ruben's hair is just, I mean, there's no product.
Looks like he's dating Taylor Swift.
No product.
It's nice that he has it, though, right?
That is right. That is nice. I mean, me and Ruben, we can talk about
it. Are you a little envious?
Sure. I wish I had hair.
When did you know it was over for you?
Oh, man. It was super, super early.
I've never known you with hair.
Yeah, it was probably like 25, 26. It was really early.
When I met Kevin, he wore a hat for the first 2 years that I met him.
I used to wear a hat all the time.
It was a backwards Duke hat all the time.
Yeah. I love Duke.
Or A&M. It was one of those two hats all
the
time.
So did you shave it at 25, 26? You did that?
I think that was the sobering moment, is because I'd always wanted to shave my head, and then I shaved my head, and then you could just see the patterns. You're like, well, that's not going to come back strong. That's not good. And so it was like,
sorry.
You remember when Gavin Dawson shaved his head, and he's like, I have hair follicles of the gods. I do not. And at 25 or 26, I was like, okay, well, that's not coming back.
Everybody always will. We get people on the Twitch, the YouTube, whatever else. A lot of times they'll be like, why does Bobby always wear a hat? Why does he always wear a hat? I didn't have a hat on in a photo we posted to social one time or something. And it was a flood of comments of, tell Bobby to put back on a hat. Dear God, tell Bobby. I used to have a flow. And then it, like, in the last 2 years, it's really gone back.
I'm a firm believer that, like, no one actually looks bad when they make the shaved bald head decision. Kevin, looks good on you.
Jada.
Thank you. Keep my wife's name out your mouth.
I'm trying to figure out for Bobby if that would apply. Can you take your hat off?
Yeah, one sec.
What do you guys think in judging this? Yeah, do you think it would go for him as well?
Yeah, I think you could go for it, especially if you just embrace it. I think people will accept it.
I think you should do a comb over. You should grow it out real long on one side, just fold that over the top.
He's a comb over candidate.
Okay.
Damn, son.
Here's my next question about that.
There's less wrecks out on 75 right now.
Oh, man.
When did people stop doing like a wig or a hairpiece, and like, when did people know that everybody knew it was a comb over? Like, I know there's still some people who are like, nah, man, it just got lots of product in it. And you're like, yeah, but like, you just took the right side and combed it all the way over. You don't have any hair in the middle. Like, when did people acknowledge that, like, that's not fooling anyone?
When big wig got too expensive, you know, whenever it became.
Is that like big pharma?
Yeah, big pharma, big weed, you know, big water. Yeah, absolutely.
One of my favorite days ever at the newspaper was we had an older reporter who wore a toupee, and it was very obvious that he wore a toupee. And then one day, I guess over the weekend or something, I don't know if he got a new toupee or got the toupee he had bleached, but he came in and it was an entirely different color. And man,
Bobby, I'm gonna tell you a fan dinner story off the air that you're gonna pee yourself. You're gonna lose it. You're gonna go crazy. Kevin, when are you breaking down the DNC last night?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Speaking of things getting more expensive,
I did not really watch I've not watched the first 2 days of the DNC. I didn't really watch the RNC either, though.
Oh,
so
okay.
Hopefully I don't get any political hate. What were your takeaways? I heard it was Obama Day there.
Yeah, I was only really bringing it up as a segue to play this Theo Von Trump audio.
Oh, no.
That's amazing. This is Theo Von sitting down.
Is this the cocaine one?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I would just do cocaine. That was really, yeah. So not that's just, yeah.
That's down and dirty, right?
Yeah, and this is, yeah, this, I mean, it was, yeah.
You don't anymore?
No, I don't do it anymore, man, and I'm not doing
it. Is it too much? Too much to handle?
Some of the stuff started to get a real rattle in it, too. I don't know where we were even getting it from in this country, but, yeah, it started to make me feel like I was a mechanic or something.
So the thing you go back to, then, is alcohol for the most part.
Right, yeah, but what I want probably is cocaine, but I know that if I have a drink, then it'll give me, it'll like be like, okay, well, I had a drink, then I can do this.
Is cocaine a stronger
up? Yeah.
So you're way up with cocaine more than anything else you can think of.
Cocaine will turn you into a damn owl, homie, you know what I'm saying? You'll be out on your own porch, you know?
Yeah.
You'll be your own street lamp. You're freaking...
And is that a good feeling? While
no.
It's a miserable feeling. That is a good follow-up question. Anyway,
just like the guy you're saying with the scotch.
Dude, how awesome is it?
I love Theo.
All right. That mechanic line, I listened to that 5 times because it just moved on to the next thing. Man, I feel like a mechanic and then Trump comes in.
There's a few things. That should have been at the RNC. But also, it feels like Trump vacillates between he's really concerned and has questions, but then it seems like he's like, curious. Tell me more about cocaine. I'm intrigued by the effects of it.
Yeah, he actually sounded like he'd never done cocaine based on the way he was asking.
Sure.
That. So I'll give him credit.
So he went between I'm concerned versus what kind of price are we talking about, you know? So I appreciated the back and forth. There were some solid follow-up questions asked in there.
Where's Michael?
I think he might be.
He's talking to some. Yeah, he's talking to a doctor over there. I think.
Oh,
it could
because
be.
I just saw Barry Fish on the YouTube.
What'd Barry say?
Barry said he's responding to Josh Fulton. Mm. He said, "I only need 2 glasses to hit it, and that's the ones on my head." I don't know exactly what that's in reference to.
Okay, so I have gotten more and more. Let's say ensconced in YouTube culture over the last 2 weeks.
Are you okay?
It is amazing how often that devolves into something that has nothing to do with our show. Like yesterday, I watched a pro versus anti-union debate happening in the YouTube chat, and I was trying to think back, like, what did we even say that might have sparked any such thoughts of this? Mm. I couldn't figure it out.
Okay,
it was fascinating, though.
They're a group unto themselves. That's a good thing right there.
You have a comment?
I think Barry Fish was talking about fish there, is what he was talking about. So
Mike Fisher?
No.
Exclusive.
I need 2 to hit it.
Like fish, like
come
just
on,
move
Sean.
On, Sean.
She gotta know what he's talking about, right?
Well, fish the band.
Meow.
Oh.
Too innocent.
All right, that's it.
Who's the real homeschooler here?
Man. I didn't know if fish was a term. Like,
are you kidding me?
Fish?
You never heard somebody laugh when they go, "I wanted some of that fish taco." You never heard anybody laugh about that?
Oh my god, Kevin!
You never heard anybody laugh at that before?
Oh, yeah, Peyton's Wieners today, and now that the KMC masterpiece with their fake background is next.
It's real.
On the fan.